Theron James Hunt here with another segment, I'll say, a segment of criminal justice reform situation that took place involved with me. I say elderly services, our governor of the state of Nevada, the district attorney's office, the manor up here in Elko. And what had happened was Elizabeth and Dorothy had met and decided that she was going to live here. And it was a perfect situation because, you know, you take a break. You try the apartment by yourself, and that didn't work. I mean, I loved her to death. So she told me she was moving in out here where I had been residing with Dorothy. And sure enough, it was great. We had our dinners every night. So just as she has written many times and has communicated to her friends, she loved it here very much so. And she walked around, watered the trees. She could walk 10 miles a day. She was just in great shape. Well, she went on a walkabout one day. The weather wasn't bad. It wasn't seriously bad. But I came home for lunch, I think it was, and she was gone. And I'm like, whoa. So I panic, you know, and they end up finding her. And that's when I first saw her, Mr. FBI, there with his little glistening look at me. Like, and I never did understand that, but I was really glad to have her home. And the next, you know, some aging services people came up from, I think, the south, which was fine. I ended up come on in the house to talk to me after, you know, she had been, you know, like say, she was on a walkabout. She could walk 20 miles if she wanted to. But they started asking questions about her finances. And I was reluctant because, number one, it's none of their business. She has rights as much as I have rights, but she had taken care of that years before on how, you know, her health care and her will and everything that was necessary. So she did it a second time. And this time, like I said, I think I was gone all day because I just tried to, you know, trying to get back to work. But I meet her at the hospital. She's at the hospital. They took her there instead of bringing her home, which was fine. There was nothing wrong with her, but they took her to the hospital. And I was there conversing with Mom, Elizabeth, and she said, well, I'm going to stay here for a couple nights. And I said, well, why are you going to do that? Well, they said I could. I said, do you want to? She says, well, yeah. I said, okay. You know, if you don't feel good, I mean, this is where you're going to get that figured out. Okay. So, you know, her doctor was there. I mean, I took her in every month. You know, I took her blood pressure 3 times a day. I mean, I knew what, you know, I knew who she was. Something was going. I don't know. They spent a week on her there. She didn't want to eat. I had to go there, and she loved bread, and I could feed her. She would eat with me there. But so I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention. I trusted the doctor very much. But then he told me that she needed to go to Sparks for, she was not progressing at all. And so as it was, I drove her to Sparks because they wanted $25,000 to fly her. I'm like, no, I'll drive her. They take her there. And she's there for, I want to say, it was almost 2 weeks. And the progress was very, very minimal. And they shouldn't have been. I mean, they were trying to figure out what was going on, and they didn't. But on the way home, because I went and picked her up and brought her back, I had to take her to the manor, up to Highland Manor. And I did. And, you know, it was kind of cool. So, but she had definitely been through some trauma, whatever was going on. And I'm, to this day, you know, a little tough getting the records, not that it matters at this point, but what did they see? I mean, I know about the plaque, I know about her teeth, I know her history because she was mom to me. But what happened was they had nobody there for mental health at Highland Manor. I was kind of surprised. I'm like, well, Is that what her problem is? I mean, come on, mom's going, she's not liking where she's at. She told me that. She's done with this. Well, they started putting a needle to her. And the first time I was like surprised at the meeting. I was, what do you mean? Had to seduce, you know, with what? I didn't like that, but it wasn't until the second time I said, you stop that. Don't do that again unless you call me. Why would you do that to her? I mean, call me. I mean, I'll come see her. I mean, well, after the meetings and, you know, I'm just kind of open with myself. I pretty much couldn't believe that they didn't have somebody to come take care of her, so I found a place in California. And I had emailed him and we had talked and I was going to go up there and see him. I had, you know, they had a nice book they sent me. And so I made it clear to them that I'm moving her, you know. And because she had needed a place where there was a doctor of mental health, you know. Well, boy, they swooped in and County Garden accused me of abuse and squandering money and I should be dealt with in a court of law and put in jail and over and in the public. I mean, just hammering me. And I'm like, man, well, I didn't, that's okay. But I was, it was Dorothy too. It was dear sweet Dorothy. And then there was, it was unbelievable. And again, time period, whatever you want to say it was. I'm like, well, first of all, they took all the documents that she had put in place, which was like power of attorney, you know, her will, her health care decisions, everything she'd put together on her own got shot out of the water. They basically said they were null and void. I had written a letter that I would not go before Mameo regarding the guardianship and her. They took, like I say, took possession of her. Basically, told me I had to supervise. I had to supervise visitation. This is the kind of buttons they push on people. This is the kind of button they're pushing on me. This is the woman I loved dearly, and she loved me. Bought me a life insurance policy. I reverted it back to the estate for various reasons, but she we rocked, man. Anyway, well, that story will come out some other time. But what was really disturbing is how they treated us. The FBI opened an investigation, our bank accounts, our phone records. I mean, I'm talking about hammering. I mean, my bank all of a sudden is like returning checks like no other. I'm like, what is their problem? Well, they had free reign. They could do what they, who was I? They had a, you know, search warrant on my checking account. That means I was a crook. And they, you know, it was kind of really strange time. And then she died 363 days later. Hello, this is Theron James Hunt with part 2 of 4 regarding Elizabeth Ferguson and elderly services, the Elko County Guardian, the wonderful Robert Wines attorney, and some judges that I'm going to name later. But I wanted to go over a couple of things. Again, 363 days from the time they took her and would not let me see her, they killed her. She passed away at the manor. I was not notified at all. I was not able to go to the funeral because of the one of the most pathetic people I've ever been a witness to was Miss Kathleen Jones, that so-called county guardian that has been thieving and lying in her own pockets and who knows who else's for a long time. Well, she attempted to go after me. She went after Dorothy, the FBI, got involved and opened up investigations against me, against Dorothy. Kathleen Jones stated that Elizabeth had been abused. She had been mistreated. She was locked up in a room. It would really, when this really comes to light and she has to answer for what she has done, including Mr. Bob Wines, a.k.a. Moron, the guy, they just really had no, they have no compassion, no respect, no. They just do whatever they want. And when they, it's,
you know, yeah, she gets $50. Well, that's not what she manages their estates, and she manages to spend money. I mean, her comment is, oh, that's okay. We can get another one because they have plenty of money. And this was a statement that Kathleen Jones made in front of people regarding an estate, and she was paying for a service for one that she had obviously become a guardian over, and laughed and said, you know, they've got plenty of money, so we'll just take, we only needed one, but she, I think, went for two or three of the items I'm speaking of, which I'm going to leave in question right now for reasons of litigation soon. But the fact that the Carol Fosmo in June, it was on 2011 in June, that she was part of this, of course, because she's a clerk, but she's also another one of those pathetic people that seem to think that they are in charge of, I would say, slandering, denying, whatever you know, they can do with their power, their pen, or their position, abuse of their position. But I'm going to go into the petition for appointment of permanent guardian of person and estate. Comes now Kathleen Jones, public guardian for the County of Elko, whose address is 540 Court Street. And a court appointed her permanent guardian for the person and estate of Elizabeth Ferguson. She advises the court as follows. By order, this May 24, 2011, petitioner was appointed as a temporary guardian, and it was only valid for a period of 10 days. By order entered on the 26th, 2011, on May 26, 2011, petitioner was appointed the extended temporary guardian of the above ward. She subscribed her oath and extended temporary office on June 3rd, 2011. It is necessary that the petitioner's authority, pursuant to the extended temporary guardianship, be transferred to a permanent guardianship in order that the petitioner will have authority to act on the ward's behalf. As shown by this information attached, the proposed ward is incapable of making decisions on her own behalf. The petitioner is informed and believes that the proposed ward, Louise Ferguson, is a widow. The proposed ward is a 74-year-old female, whose date of birth is December 29, 1937, a resident of the state of Nevada, County of Elko. And a copy of the proposed ward's Social Security number is attached with the disclosure of confidential information and incorporated here in the evidence. The names and relationships of next of kin of the proposed ward and the best of petitioner's current knowledge of information are as follows. John, Joe, Carrie Scope, two sons, daughter. Petitioner believes there has been little or no contact between the children and the proposed ward in quite some time, nor are they able to be appointed as the guardian at this time. Elizabeth Louise Ferguson is in need of a permanent guardian due to several existing conditions. The proposed ward is unable to respond to a substantial and immediate risk of physical harm. That is exactly what Kathleen Jones said regarding Elizabeth, that she was subject to physical harm. No basis, but that's what she said, and it gets better. That the proposed ward has been subject to abuse, neglect, and exploitation by persons acting as her attorney in fact. Petitioner believes the proposed ward lacks the capability to respond to those risks of exploitation. Now, mind you, this is a county guardian in the County of Elko, accusing me of exploitation, abuse, like with no basis. Petitioner believes that the proposed ward has executed a general and durable power of attorney and durable power of attorney for health care decisions, both dated May 5th, 2009. Copies of each are attached and incorporated. In favor of friend, Theron James Hunt, or and alternatives, Bonnie Bueller, Sam Buehler, and then Dorothy Vance, and in that order. Petitioner is informed and believes that an investigation has been opened by the Elko County Sheriff's Office and the FBI to determine what extent, if any, the proposed ward attorney, in fact, any of the alternatives listed in the power of attorneys executed on May 5, 2009, or any other person has taken funds or other assets belonging to the proposed ward and used for their personal benefit and not for the benefit of the proposed ward. This guardianship is being sought in order to open the investigation and to commence any litigation as may be necessary, as dictated by the outcome of the investigation. Petitioner requests the court's order declaring that the general and durable power of attorney and durable power of attorney for health care decisions, both executed May 5, 2009, null and void upon the approval of this guardianship and appointment of petitioner as guardian of the person and estate Elizabeth Louise Ferguson. As shown by the certificate of incapacity, like I say, incapacity, meaning that she's not able to make decisions on her own, but we're going to take agreements and things that she actually had completed with a local attorney, and she's incapacitated, but they're going to just eliminate these documents that she put in place to protect herself, to protect her life, to protect her care, to put it in my hands, to take care of her, to see that she was okay. And they, the arrogance of their corrupt minds is just appalling. And I'm going to enjoy finally being able to get some resolve to this. And it damn well better be what they tried to do to me and have done. And that is, they need to be held accountable in the courts. And they need to be made felons for what they've done. They need to be disbarred. And that includes Mr. Robert Wines and many others that are that I'm going to eventually share with you. Now, I don't know if anyone has had this opportunity to take care of someone, whether it be your mother or an elderly person, but I don't know if you could imagine what it's like to have them taken from you, someone you'd love dearly, and then you accused of abusing them, of spending their money, taking their money. It was just appalling that they did this. And I, you know, how loud do you scream? You're here in Elko County. In my situation, you just want to just breathe deep and pray. As shown by the certificate of incapacity and regarding the need for guardianship filled out by the state of Nevada and Aging Disability Services, social worker Juanita Jensen attached Exhibit 2 and incorporated herein by this reference. Ms. Juanita Jensen states that the proposed ward is alert but not oriented and, in her opinion, needs a guardian of the person and estate. That was me. That at that time, that was me. I was the guardian. I had control. That's what Elizabeth wanted. And they took it upon themselves to pass judgment and remove her from me. And I say, 363 days later, she passed away. And I'm not talking about a woman that was sick. I'm talking about putting the needle to her like they did numerous times. And what they did to her after they took her from me, I had no access to it. I mean, I was confronted with officers of the law saying, you cannot see her. Don't try to come and see her. If you think you need to see her, you can make a request because it will be a supervised visitation. Now, I don't know who made them able to make those kind of remarks about somebody, but that is not in any way allowed and appropriate. And of course, there's people that do this. I'm not saying there isn't that issue, but I'm going to carry on here. That the proposed ward has been a resident of Highland Manor Nursing Home since November 9th, 2010, the proposed ward, unable to make competent decisions for herself concerning her continued medical care. I was doing that. I was making sure everybody was doing the proper things. But here's the petitioner believes the proposed ward's monthly income is, it was, let's see, retirement, railroad retirement, $1,422, JCPenney retirement, $111 a month, long-term care benefits from CalPERS, $144 per day, average $4,320 a month, and the retirement benefit of CalPERS, probably $1,700 per month. They saw the money. That's what they saw. That's what they went after. They didn't care who, what, how. Matter of fact, they put extra effort into it because it was me. But let's remember what a mouth Kathleen Jones has when she's out in the community telling people. And again, I've been used to this for a long time. But how does somebody of her position that is a liar and a thief get in the position where she can squander the money and accuse other people of doing it? That's what is really disgusting. And that the judges, Michael Mameo, the attorneys, Bob Wines, what gives you, I mean, you people are the sick criminals that need, that justice is seeking. That's what I'm seeking. I'm seeking justice for this situation. You people will and need to pay for what you've done. As shown by the certificate of incapacity and regarding the need for guardianship filled out by the state of Nevada, aging disabilities. I'm sorry, I don't mean to go back over that. Ms. Juanita, so that the proposed ward has been a resident, okay, and we have gone through her income. So let's go back to petitioner believes the proposed ward's railroad retirement, JCPenney, and CalPERS benefit is automatically deposited in the proposed ward's Elko Federal Credit Union banking account. That the petitioner believes that there could be persons obtaining these funds for personal use, as described above, and not for proposed ward's benefit. Petitioner requests that court order request this court order that the permanent guardian shall have authority to close any and all bank accounts held by proposed ward, either solely or jointly, that all automatic payments or withdrawals made from said closed account be used for the proposed ward's immediate supervision, medical and financial needs, and that the guardian shall be able to open a new account for the sole use and benefit of the proposed ward if needed. Petitioner believes that the proposed ward has additional assets besides her monthly income. Petitioner believes the proposed ward may own or have ownership interested in a 98 Honda Accord, a four-door sedan, 2003 GMC Sierra truck, a 2006 Chevy Cruze sedan. In addition, petitioner believes there could be other assets not known to her at this time. Petitioner requested the court's order that the authority to contact the Department of Motor Vehicles and the state of Nevada, California, determine what vehicles owns and are titled in her name. Petitioner further requested the court order for authority to contact any financial or lending institution in order to determine the proposed ward has any outstanding financial obligations as a result of the acquisition of any assets. Now, mind you, I had every file that separated all of her accounts that she had, any charge accounts, and I had everything in a satchel that was very extended. It included everything. It had all everything that was necessary because I had been doing this for some time for her. And they wouldn't ask me for that. They didn't ask me for anything. They literally went on attack mode trying to get me put in jail, prison, whatever you want to call it, but never asked me for these documents. And I'll cover that later, part 3 and 4, is how that panned out. So they are now talking about assets that, again, didn't ask me about any of it. I'd never heard of some of it, but petitioner believes that it is in the proposed ward's best interest that she remains a resident in skilled nursing at Highland Manor Nursing Home for her personal safety, 24-hour supervision, medication administration, ADL assistance, and cognitive needs. Petitioner requested the court's order that the permanent guardian shall have the authority to place the proposed ward in a substitute secured facility or locked unit as necessary to ensure the proposed ward's safety and proper care treatment and placements, including mental health care and treatment at any time during the guardianship. Now, mind you, they had no mental health doctors, nurse, there was no one up there at Highland Manor that could administer mental health. And they told me that. That's why I went into California and found a facility, wonderful people. We communicated. I was going to go meet them because I was moving her. You know, for her, for them saying she has mental issues, but we're going to keep her here and lock her up so in case she needs mental help, although we have nobody to administer that help. That's what they're claiming in these documents. I don't know how that really, you know, computes to people, but here's the problem. When I decided I was moving her, and I have communication, I have with this outfit, and they had full-time help for someone with the mental issues that mom was experiencing. That's, and when I put the Highland Manor on notice that I was going to be moving her, that's when all these things became quick, swift, accusatory, and they removed her from, took an issue to, anyway, so the, well, it's part two of four with Aging Services, State of Nevada, Highland Manor, Bob Wines, Michael Mameo, many other judges and people that did something so despicable that when you, we get to part three, I'll give you some more details that if it's not maddening to you, it's because you're one of them. God bless our president. God bless our country. Rest in peace, Mom. Amen. God bless our president's family, too. Hello, this is Theron Hunt here in the USA, 89815. I'm going to play some ball here with my dog while I talk to everybody. And when it comes to Elizabeth Ferguson, she was the mother of John Ferguson, of late John Ferguson, Joe Ferguson. Two, you know, just bigger-than-life gentlemen. Great, great boys. Well, that was their mother. And, of course, there was also Carrie. And I was the one that was blessed with taking care of her. And it wasn't in her final years. She came and met Dorothy. And let me back up. She retired from Reno. JCPenney there. But before that, she retired from the railroad in California. She's got a very, very wonderful history that you'll find in a book. But I just want to say that she ended up coming to Dorothy's here with me, and we got to enjoy her until the state and the FBI. Hello, this is back onto the, this is a third part to four parts, I would imagine, when I'm done. The first two segments, hopefully you've listened to. So the group of people, you know, you get a little emotional when you think about it, when you, especially when you have to go back and relive it, what they did. This was not long ago. This was 2011, 2012, that this they did this. And, you know, they've never, they investigated me twice. That's what I was told by the undersheriff. It's the current undersheriff, Parks at, or Parker, whatever it is. But said that, yeah, they... You know, there wasn't any evidence. They sent it back. Said, hey, find something. So it hit a brick wall and it came, you know, went back. I mean, the FBI interrogated Dorothy. It was really an ugly situation. And, of course, I was never charged with anything because there was nothing to charge me for. And to explain to you guys, to everyone how, you know, when people do this, you know, if it, I wish it was just me they were doing it to. You know, I mean, like, sorry, better not wish for something like that. What I say is that if it didn't affect more people than me, it wouldn't even be that maddening. I just take it and deal with it later. But you know what they did to people? First of all, they're accusing Dorothy of something. And that's appalling and it's ridiculous. But the effect that it has when a family that knows me, Sean and Joe and Carrie doesn't really know me, but everything was always good with Carrie. I haven't got along with her. But you've got some kids, some very neat, Michael Ferguson, Paige Ferguson, Brianna Ferguson. Paige being the youngest. Those years that, prior to that, were pretty rough on everybody. And that's really not my business to say why, but I'm sure that we'll be able to share that with you sometime. But I was kind of like a family. I mean, I was there helping. John knew I had, and Joe knew I had control of everything because that's the way it just had to be. It was that way. It was easier that way. I mean, that way there was no, issues, we think, right? So John has passed since and has not been able to, I never spoke to him again. He never spoke to me again. And because what they told the family, what they told everybody, the judge told them, everything that I've told you that they accused me of. And yet they never charged me because there was nothing ever there. But that's what they did. And, it's kind of, I got an email from Joe that said, hey, I never mouth effed you. You know that. I'd never do that to you. And he wouldn't. And I believe that. But what about all the other people that did? And okay, leave me out of it. Bonnie Bueller went to Chris, the mayor, said, hey, what is her problem? Shut her, she's talking about Theron now and Dorothy. And it was completely ridiculous. But let's go deeper in this. So I can't see her. They accused me of everything under the sun. And so that's where it stood. She gets buried. I don't go to the funeral. One more thing. She had a will. I handed the will to Kathleen. I handed the will to the detective. When I went to meet with the detective the second go around, and they, I'll go meet with anybody. I have no problem with meeting with anybody. You guys got something to ask me about, talk to me about? I've always been there. You know that. And I did. And there was Kathleen across the table. Woo! Oh, man, that was tough. Told her she ought to be ashamed of herself. But anyway, I had my satchel with me, and I basically showed the detective what I had, and he was just like, his jaw dropped, hit the floor. He's like, you had this? I'm like, of course I had it all the time. The whole time, I had everything. I knew all of her assets. I was her real estate agent. I was helping her with her estate, and when she had children, grandchildren, she loved her. Come on, the woman, why not trust me? Because I'm not a thief like you fucking attorneys out there? Because I did it because I loved her? Yeah. So they strip it all. They even take the will that she had, that she had put in place a couple years before. I want to say I'll have to look at the exact months. It was 2009 May, and this was like July of 2011. So a couple years anyway. She had made some changes to it for whatever reason. And basically, it was durable power of attorney. It was durable power of attorney with healthcare decisions. She threw a life insurance policy on top of it for me. And she, when she did this, I think it was close to nearby. It was in that time zone. And the will, everything was left to me. Everything. Every bit of her. Her retirement, her railroad retirement, everything that she had come into her until she was 99 years old. Okay? And I don't know how that all panned out. I mean, I don't know. It went, I hope it went where it was supposed to. The one thing it wasn't supposed to do was go past me to them without me administering it. I was supposed to be the administrator. Okay, here's why. Because I'm trustworthy. I'm not a thief. I'm not a liar. I'm not a crooked son of a bitch. I'm not that literal elite swamp that wants to send the law after you. Let me tell you what. Don't do that. Okay? Because I'm not the one that's done anything wrong. You people have. These agreements that they threw out. I don't know what that was. Is extremely heartbreaking. But when I tell you about the aftermath of a young girl taking her own life named Paige Ferguson, she did this after things really fell apart for a while. I don't think anybody can say they had that it's behind them and over. I mean, they literally desecrated me and tried to, and then not only did they take someone dear from me, let me read you a letter. I'm going to read you a letter from mom, to me. And just one of many that I how they got away with this, how they did this to somebody. They've done it to other people. That's the scary part. And to do that, I mean, think about it. They literally take her away. You never see her again, and she's dead. And there's nothing you did wrong. Here's Atria Gardens. Hello, Theron. It was nice speaking with you yesterday. It was wonderful to know people like yourself that are selfless and carry out the wishes of a loved one when they can no longer able to. I included a book by our consultant, David Truxell. T-R-O-X-E-L, that I mentioned yesterday for review. I think you will enjoy some of the insights. I look forward to meeting you in person. Please let me know when you are available to visit. Thank you. Sandy Unker, U-N-K-R-U-R, 916-488-5722. It was a book regarding what changes that you go through when you have an elderly person. And it's good dignity. It's the dignity of them. My mother was killed young. She was killed at 48. So I didn't have that. But I've known many elderly people in my life. And so I guess what I'm saying is I was moving her to this place because it had someone that could actually help her with her mental state. You know, they didn't just put a needle to her. They were going to actually have a doctor there. And, you know, these people up here put a needle to her. I read the paper to you, you know, and there's more to read. So this is what happened, and it was Mameo. It was Mameo, and I'm going to tell you about him. What he's done for decades is not excusable. See, this is where you should, instead of just picking on me, why don't you get him in here to answer for this stuff? You see, y'all know about it. Y'all know what's happening. You're getting at more details again. But what you should do is think about how serious this is. Now, is it any worse than what you're doing to other people and the president? I mean, really, this has been going on. I mean, why me? I'd like to know. I'd like to know how, that's what I want you to answer for. Why did you do this to people? Why have you, instead of helping people, you attack people? What's funny is you did this to, I have the experience of everything. I mean, I don't know what I am not going to, I mean, you haven't accused me of killing a horse yet, so I don't know. I'm not sure what, but I do say I've dealt with almost every aspect of the legal system upside in and out with all you bastards. And so here we go. It's time to clean the swamp out because I'm not the criminal. You are. And I'm going to read you another note from a friend of hers. I'm a Jean. She's in Reno. Good friend of hers. Actually has some sons that, now just what mom told me, I'm a Jean. I never discussed it with her, but they happen to be in law enforcement. Hi, Theron and Dorothy. Anything I can do, let me know. I loved Liz, and she loved you too, and told me she was happy for the first time since she moved back to Elko from Reno. Love, Imogene. Imogene Matzinger. I mean, I'm sure. Anyway, so that's what a friend, now, because I called her and I said, oh man, they are just, I tried to get her to get guardianship or hell, you know, and she, but it was, they didn't even allow that. I mean, it was just a weird, swift, hammer, and even the attorney that wrote the art agreements wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. So, who's the bigger person? Now, I've got a real long letter here, and I've got some other things that mom left me that I, you know, I'll read some other time. I'm going to let this go. I don't want them to get too long, and I'm out of breath. Bastards. Anyway, God bless our president. God bless his administration. And, yeah. Hello, this is Theron Hunt here, probably segment number 5 on the elderly services, and this is a letter that Elizabeth wrote to her friend in Reno. It says, Dear Imo, Imo for short for Imogene, and family, a couple hearts there, sure to miss my best friend. We have been in snow forever, seems like, about 4 feet on the property here in the Spring Creek area. Theron bought a new pickup so he can get out and about without problems. There are so many vehicles at our place, most covered with snow, of course. They only use their own new vehicles when they go into town to work. I still don't drive. Last week, I was moving my own stored things into the 3-car, 2-story garage when I took a fall out back from its steep It just says from, it's steep and it was covered with snow. Dorothy says they fell ass end over tea kettle, rolling down our backs, slid over the big fish pond. Fish Theron has transferred to huge big tanks inside the home, one of the bottom levels. Seawater fish for protection from freeze water. I love her. Yeah, anyway, I laugh every time I read that. And they're okay inside until summer. You'll put them back in the ponds in the backyard. Anyway, I had a couple few days limping around. Left knee kept sounding like it was always hurting. Bones snapping, but I'm mending. Theron keeps me on my blood pressure meds and sees that I eat my oatmeal daily and looks for me. I'm taken care of as though I am helpless by both of them, Dorothy and Theron. I've never been treated so good since Walt was killed in 1976 in the line of duty in the police department. It's been a long time since our weather has been so bad, as you will know, too, or as you well know. I see TV Channel 8, Reno, so I see you're having some bad times, too. I hope your son, Mark, is back home now. I have said a lot of prayers for all of you a long time. Well, we'll close. Hope all going okay, and your weather better too. We are at 6,000 feet here in Spring Creek, 3 floors, several stairways. I love you all. Love all of you. Take care of yourselves. I miss my best friends a lot. Happy Valentine's. Our family, a heart, Liz, XO, adopted. It says Liz, she signed it, then Delocious. Adopted daughter, Dorothy Vance. Adopted son, Theron James Hunt. 127 Glen Vista Drive, West Spring Creek, Nevada, 89815. House phone, 753-9589. My family has cell phones in every car and room of their home for themselves. But the house phone for everyone with answer, it's for me. So what she's saying, she has a landline, which she did. So that's a letter from her to Imogene. And it was just previous to them taking it from me. And one thing I wanted to say about the second time that she was picked up, she had a doctor's appointment that day. And she knew it, and I told her I was taking her. But I was just trying to get, do some work, trying to earn some money, I think. And I can try to remember where I was working, and I can go back on my notes. But what had happened was I went to work, and she didn't want me to have to leave work to take her there. So she's going to walk. And that's why she took off to go to the hospital. And, that's... Anyway, that doesn't really matter. Just a little tidbit there on Elizabeth Ferguson. And again, this is the year 2011 when these people here in this area showed just how despicable and how crooked and how illegal they can operate. I mean, they broke some serious laws here, people. And if you hear this, I can't imagine that anybody's going to say, oh, that's just tough luck. You know what it is? They're criminals. They shouldn't be working. They should be arrested like I have been. They should have to post bail. They should have to go before a judge. Yeah. But oh no, they'll just come after me. Okay, times are changing, people. Anyway, God bless our president. Criminal justice reform. His dear family, I'm still sorry for what they're doing to you. But God bless our country. Here we come. Hello, this is Theron Hunt. It's another letter here. This is the letter that I wrote regarding Elizabeth Ferguson when I wrote to Department 1, a matter of guardianship on the person and estate of Elizabeth Louise Ferguson. Notice of objection. I, Theron James Hunt, are hereby noting my objection to changing, modifying, or eliminating any documents that were executed by Elizabeth Ferguson on May 5th, 2009. These documents include the general and durable power of attorney. Durable power of attorney for health care decisions. I will not be attending the hearing scheduled for July 11th, 2011 due to the extreme prejudice shown from District Judge Michael Mameo regarding myself. I cannot stomach entering the courtroom and witness more prejudice regarding the decisions he will be presiding over regarding myself and someone so close to me as Elizabeth Ferguson. Elizabeth Ferguson lived with myself and Dorothy Vance at 127 Glen Vista Drive in Spring Creek. We were fortunate to spend the last year and a half living together and caring for Mom, not only socially and physically, but emotionally. On October of 2010, Elizabeth stated she wanted to go to the hospital, and I made that appointment with Dr. James Lasar through his nurse, Linda. I was at work, and upon returning home, Mom was gone, and through my inquiry, I found her at the Northern Nevada Medical Center in care of Dr. Lasar. Her appointment was for 3 o'clock that day. Dr. Lasar kept Elizabeth's mom for 6 days before suggesting we take her to the Northern Nevada Medical Center in Sparks, Nevada, and put her in care. Geriatric ward for extensive physical and mental care to determine what had caused the rapid decline in her physical and mental health. I spent the majority of my time in Sparks over the next 2 weeks of her treatment. At Northern Nevada Medical Center, Mom was released, and I agreed to take her directly to Highland Manor in Elko due to her extreme decline and inability to care for herself. To this day, the only guess or possible prognosis mentioned was multiple minor strokes, but nothing has confirmed. This was a woman that baked me a pie for my birthday, 9/26, and was watering trees and flowers that had her walking around 2 acres of property from 5 a.m. to get the paper until dinner time with Dorothy. And I, as she did every day, we ate together every day is what it said there. Sorry. She digressed from walking 10 miles a day to an extremely medicated woman with the inability to feed herself and remember where she was and unclear about what was happening when I picked her up at Northern Medical Center in Sparks, Nevada. I hope I don't have to tell you how devastating this was for myself and Dorothy. I was offered limited information from the manor or any other social services available as I began to deal with the situation that had left Mom unable to care for herself. The manor was doing a great job, and I was content with their care for her. I praise everyone at Highland Manor for how they cared for Mom with their limited resources. I was extremely troubled when they were injecting her with a sedative as she became irritated and combative towards certain individuals at the facility. I was informed psychological care was only available 2 times a year. This was when I began inquiring about other facilities that offered more options. I found a facility in Carmichael, California, Atria El Camino Gardens, that offered more than a Highland Manor could offer. I mentioned I was moving to Elizabeth. Soon after that was when I was informed that Kathleen Jones was petitioning the court for guardianship. During a scheduled care meeting at the Highland Manor, when Kathleen Jones handed me papers regarding the petition for guardianship and asked me to leave the care meeting. That's how they go about this. There they are. I quietly left the meeting and went to visit Mom, and then was again confronted by Kathleen Jones demanding supervised visitation. I agreed and waited about 10 minutes when an officer showed up and handed me papers and said, "You have been served." And I said, "Okay, can I now visit Mom?" And Kathleen said, "I guess so." This was the beginning of her obvious bias attitude. Kathleen showed up at 127 Glen Vista Drive with a sheriff and an assistant and proceeded to rummage through Elizabeth's personal belongings. And to my surprise, when asking what authorized her to take whatever she wanted and put her finger in my face and told me to shush. This seemed to be a provoking gesture and with no justification other than personal bias. I chose to leave the room, and they took boxes of personal belongings of which they had no reason or justification other than what District Judge Mamayo provided, again, without any justifiable reason. I will also mention there has been no inventory provided to me and what was removed, and when asked why they did not take everything in order to vacate the room, which would allow me to terminate the agreement between Dorothy and Elizabeth and myself regarding rents, leases, etc., whatever, I was told the children would come and pick up everything up. This, again, is against her wishes and is a violation of her rights and her wishes. She made clear May 5th, 2009. In closing, I can ask that the final wishes of Elizabeth Louise Ferguson be respected and all documents stay intact and valid as they are, should and would any fair and impartial court. I copied Kathleen Jones, Public Guardian Robert Wines, and District Judge Michael Mayo. This is what my, and you know what? Again, didn't even faze him. God bless our president. God bless our country, his family. God bless all of you out there. We're going to get through this, and it's going to be great.